Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hi, welcome. This is Fred Film Radio. You are listening to the daily program Global Critics Venice Voice from the Venice Film Festival. I'm Rita Di Santo. I'll be hosting the program. And today with me, I have three splendid colleagues. And from Germany, we have...
Daniel Kutenschulte from Cologne, Germany.
And from Ukrainian.
Hello, my name is Volodymyr Chernyshev. I'm representing Feliton Media.
And from Mexico.
Adriana Fernandez. Hi, everyone.
Wonderful. Today we will talk about Comandante, of Eduardo De Angelis, L'Ordine del Tempo, The Order of Time, Liliana Cavani, and El Conte by Pablo Larraín. And let's start from with the first, Comandante by Eduardo De Angelis. This is a young Italian director that opened the festival. The movie is set during the Second World War II and is based on real event, and is the story of Salvatore Todaro, a fascist captain of a submarine who rescued the enemy lives who had survived the sinking of their own ship. And for me, this movie, looks good. The acting is fine, but the whole thing suffered in telling from a certain sense of déjà vu, and especially it doesn't give you a sense of place. And I think it won't be everybody night out. Daniel?
It wasn't mine, I can tell for sure. I was thinking this might be a film pretty much to the taste of your current Minister of Culture, who had wished for more fascist personalities being portrayed by the Rai. This is about, as you told us, a fascist ship commander, but what the film doesn't tell us is that he was awarded the highest German war award by the Nazis, the Iron Cross, the Ritterkreuz, which is a part of the Iron Cross. It's the best thing that you can have. And the film tells us his life story pretty much as a kind of suicidal venue, that he was, doing this much to his own risk. But I don't think that that's true. It's a heroic story, and I'm pretty suspicious if we need now heroic stories about the Second World War from this perspective.
Yeah, and at the beginning we have a line telling about a similar story that happened in the Ukrainian. Have you seen the movie? And have you seen
Yes, I've seen this movie, and actually I think this film is pretty inappropriate in this time, because right now in Ukraine, so many people have no regrets for any form of fascism, and this film could be perceived by Ukrainians, because I'm representing Ukrainians, of course, pretty regretful for fascism and Nazism. As Daniel said, nobody said in film that main character was awarded by highest German award, and film was introduced by a quote by a Russian soldier, which was rescued by Ukrainian one. And I think this quotation wasn't so right for the moment. But film, I liked stylistically. It's pretty beautiful. It's pretty fine. Also, I loved this, Tom York-like music. It was pretty interesting, but still maybe not so compatible for the story, because story is pretty formal, actually, and extremely romantic at the same time. And maybe this kind of art house music is not so appropriate for this film.
Yeah. And Adriana, I'm curious, because you're coming from Mexico, so you have a different background.
Completely different. Yeah. I disagree with you all. I really like this film. I really liked it, because it starts in a way in which you're expecting something to happen. I'm not going to spoil anything, but the way it starts, not the first phrase, but what happens next, like a jump in the water. And I was expecting that moment throughout the whole film. So I think I thought like the film was going somewhere, and then it went completely in a different direction. And also what I liked is I didn't see the political thing, you know, maybe because I come from Mexico and I don't have this background. Of course, I know about the Second World War and everything that happened. Actually, I studied history myself. But what I mean is I didn't see that in the film. I didn't see that paint over the film. I thought it was more like a humane story about the people, you know, and about how you can change things, even if you have to, you know, obey orders. You know, he totally disobeyed. You know? I'm not going to spoil anymore, but I really liked it. I really liked it. I felt empathy for the characters. I was, you know, all the time I was on my toes, like, I don't know what's going to happen next. And I really liked that. And even though it seems like we were discussing, it seems like it's two films, I even liked that too. So for me, it was, I liked it.
Great. No, I think it is also important to see that Eduardo De Angelis is a young filmmaker, he's a young director. And right. This looks like a quite mature movie
with a
certain idea of cinema. So it's something interesting, yeah. But let's give a bit of space of this beautiful movie that we saw outside of competition, The Order of Time, by our incredible filmmaker Liliana Cavani, L'Ordine del Tempo, and she received at the opening night the Golden Lion for Life Achievement. And L'Ordine del Tempo, The Order of Time, The Order of Time is about a group of long-term friends gathering together to celebrate a birthday in a villa by the sea. But something incredible is happening because an asteroid from the sky is maybe it will crash the party. So this it for me, I think it's an intelligent, sophisticated piece of cinema. And I know that Daniel and Lodi, you have seen the movie as well, no?
Yes,
yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah, well, I love Liliana Cavani too, and I think she should have got this wonderful award many, many years ago already for many, many great films that she had made. But this film I found a bit too light in its tone, and there's a social aspect that I didn't find really explored. This is a class thing. We are dealing with a kind of upper class meeting, and there's a servant involved from South America, and I think this character was really not developed enough. You know, was staying a minor character in the film, and therefore I think there was something missing. On the other hand, I like this type of film very much. I was talking with a Swedish colleague who was reminded of Ingmar Bergman even, and he said nobody in Sweden makes films like this anymore, like Ingmar Bergman films that are dealing with philosophical matters of life and personal life. So yeah, I enjoyed watching it. I didn't find it Liliana Cavani's best film though.
Yeah.
I like this film, and I need to say that I think this kind of story is pretty usual for directors who in some way are researching violence, for example, Haneke or Buñuel or even Trier. I've seen some quotations and reminiscences from Melancholia, of course, from Happy End of Haneke, and even from a film by Buñuel. But I agree that this film is pretty sentimental for, as I reckon, a main director who studies fascism in all ways it could be in the world. But and also I agree with Daniel that this line of housemate wasn't developed enough, because this line, I really did like this line. But in some way, Liliana Cavani preferred to silence this voice, and I didn't like it, actually.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to the second movie in competition that we have seen, El Conde by Pablo Larraín. And Pablo Larraín is like almost every year here at the Venice Film Festival. And El Conde is a black and white dark comedy presenting Pinochet as a 250 years old vampire. And it's not like a masterpiece, but it's interesting and it's full of surprise. What do you think, Daniel?
I think it's a very difficult thing to do. I think we talked already, my colleague from the Ukraine and I, about a great Russian filmmaker, Alexander Sakurov, who was prominent and famous for dealing with fascist leaders in a satirical way in his films. And this is a very difficult genre because we don't want to laugh too loud about, you know, all these terrible people. And so the vampire movie genre is a kind of cool way to deal with it. But on the other hand, I didn't find it funny enough to be a good satire. I didn't find it fantastic enough to be a great example of fantastic realism from South America, maybe. And I didn't find it imaginative at all. I was, you know, feeling sorry for the actors who just developed so much text within these elaborate backgrounds and surroundings. It was wonderfully photographed by Ed Lachmann, who is one of the great cinematographers of our time. But it was going on forever. The music was terrible, all classical, light classic music with no relation to what was going on the screen. So no, I found it way too long and not really a good film.
And I really enjoyed this film because me being a film scholar, I have some desires to find some reminiscences in film, and of course in El Conde there are so many quotations by Sakurov, by Carl Theodor Dreyer, by Wiener, Wegener, even from some writers, for example from Bulgakov. I don't know, have you recognized, but I perceived Pinochet as Volant from Master and Margarita. He's pretty common to him. And at the moment when a main character, female character, which is pretty similar to Dreyer's Jeanne d'Arc, became a vampire, it was like a moment from Master and Margarita when she flies around the Moscow, but I agree that sound in this film, like music, is not so poetically compatible for this type of plot, because I think all of compositions in this film are pretty popular, and when you watch this film, which is, as I think, very avant-garde, you're not supposed to listen pretty mediocre music. But still, I liked this way of satire and irony in this film because it's really Sakurov-like. I studied him in university and he's my favorite director, so I really did like this film. And also, I appreciate that Pablo Larraín finally went out from his first ladies movies and finally went to some other topic also about politics and politicians, but pretty different. And this film is funny, and I think this comic element in this film was made very talented.
Thank you very much. I have to say that I went to see this movie last night. This is what the critic's job is. Mm-hmm. You watch the first movie at 8:30 in the morning, but you start queuing at 8 o'clock. And then last night, this movie for me was screened at 9:45. And I was thinking, okay, after the first 10 minutes, I understood the story. It's like a black and white, I'm going home. But actually, I have to say, I wanted to see where the movie was going. Okay. So I went home completely full awake, and I managed to see all the movie and really enjoy it too as well. But Adriana, you haven't seen the movie because you're watching Orizzonti.
Right.
Oh, I didn't mention, but Daniel and Adriana, we have two members of the Fipreschi jury, the International Federation of Film Critics, as a jury here.
Yes.
And they will give an award at the end, and you are looking to Orizzonti and Critics
Right,
Week movies.
Right.
So you haven't seen this movie. But I'm curious to know what you think of this director, Pablo Larraín, because, I mean, it's a director talks about Mexico, but for me, also, I mean, with Margaret Thatcher, it's
right,
amazing
right.
We have this Margaret, oh, sorry, maybe I spoiled, but we see Margaret Thatcher at a certain point. I don't
Spoiler
know
alert,
the connection with the story.
What's
but
going on?
What's for you... Pablo Larraín in South America. It's really
yes.
interesting to know. It's like the Che Guevara of cinema.
Right. I think it's, you know, I don't like everything he does, to be completely honest. Like, I liked Spencer very much, the movie about Princess Diana. I love that film. And there was a lot of hate towards... I think that was a very...
That was a great
film. It was a great
film,
but it's like you hate you love it or you hate it, no? I think it was like the case. I loved it. I really loved it. But some people were like, I got bored, I didn't understand, why does it keep, you know, going that long? But I did like it. No, I did like it too, about, you know, what they did in Chile to get, you know, the people out, no, from the military out. And I liked that too. And it was with Gael García Bernal, which is our prime actor, no? I didn't like Emma. I didn't like Jackie, not too much. So I'm curious about seeing El Conde. But I really think, you know, that South American directors have something to say, and Mexican directors we have a lot of to say too, so it's always interesting to look at Pablo Larraín.
He's great with pictures and he's daring, he's
right.
trying something, and even
right.
this time, you know, therefore even
if
I don't like it that much,
exactly.
but I think he's daring, and that's
yes.
something that I really appreciate.
Agree Daniel.
By the way, I also wanted to add that I really like that some directors right now, there is some trend that directors are trying to make some domestic stories. Mm. It's pretty great. For example, last year, maybe you remember about Bardo?
Yes, I remember Bardo.
Iñárritu.
But Iñárritu is a Mexican director. Yes, I remember The Baby on the Beaches. I have nightmare every night.
Yes, I don't know about your thoughts, but I think Bardo is one of the most... talented films by Alejandro Iñárritu, and I think his Mexican films are much more stronger and better than foreign ones. For example, I didn't like Revenant, I didn't like Birdman. They're they're pretty alien for him, I think. But Bardo is very cool story with some 8.5 meaning. I do know about Fellini, of course. Yes, so many people blame this film as kind of I don't know, egoistic in some way, but
narcissistic.
Narcissistic is in a redo for us. Now we can say
yes. But
yes.
I think
then you will lose your job.
But all of authors are narcissistic.
I think Iñárritu is a top one.
Okay.
No, really, he's really talented, and he also has a lot of things to say. But I thought that Bardo was really something very personal, and also, they say that no one is a prophet in their homeland. That happens a lot, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, you're more harsh with your peers. No, you're in this case our Mexican directors, but Iñárritu is something.
Thank you very much.
One of a kind.
Thank you very much. We are very, very close to the... I think, Daniel, I have something burning that you want to say or not.
Oh, no, I was adding something to this, but, I mean, this really makes this discussion longer. Now, we have a Lantimos film, the Greek director, and he's also an example of a great guy who was best in his own country.
Yes.
His Greek films are usually better than his, I don't know, his international movies. But let's wait and see.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask you, what's your expectations and which films do you expect more, the most?
I think the German film is really unique. It's something that we rarely get to see from Germany. A cinephile young director who's all into movies and made a film that is uncomparable, in my opinion, to other films. So it's called The Theory of Everything. Well, it's not that complete, but it's not about everything, but it's about a lot. So I think this is something that
Which movie is that?
The Theory of Everything, the German.
I think I want to see something, female filmmakers, great female filmmakers. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting something great from them. And Liliana Cavani yesterday said that I don't know if you heard, but Liliana Cavani is the first female in 80 years. We are celebrating 80 years of Venice Film Festival, and then she's the first female director receiving the Life Achievement, the Golden Lion for Life Achievement. It's quite shocking.
Yes,
so I really want to go and support
director.
Female movies and watch. Anyway, thank you so much. I hope to have you next few days and this our wonderful program, Global Critics Venice Voice. And thank you for joining tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Rita.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.